I gave up my voice for Lent. And I know what you're thinking, right? It's going to be a short homily. Sorry. It's just going to be more painful for all of us. So our first reading is tells us the end of the story of Noah's Ark. And Noah's Ark is a good chunk of the first 11 chapters in the book of Genesis. And it's one of these stories that's not only told in the Bible, but it's also found in myths throughout the world. In fact, the people of South America had their own version of it, involving a native who saved the animals in a canoe. And so clearly this is part of our human consciousness, the sense of the flood washing away creation. The Bible explains that it happens because of our sinfulness, that God creates the world good in a relationship with Him. But as Adam and Eve fall out of a relationship with Him, they fall out of that same goodness, and things get worse and worse and worse. And God is waiting, patiently, hoping, trying to get humanity to reform, but nobody's listening. And so finally He decides, well, I can't let it go on like this. I'm going to have to wash the world clean and start over. And only one family will listen to God, Noah and his three sons. Maybe they're homeschooling or something, I don't know, but he's listening. And so God says, look, I'm going to flood the world, but I give you a chance to build a boat first. So he builds a boat and collects the animals in it. And then the floods come, just like God promised. And the rest of the world said, where did this come from? We didn't see this coming. Well, God would have told them if they'd been listening. So Noah floats on the over the waters for how long? How long is the ark floating? 40 days, that's right. And then the waters recede. They've washed the world clean. And a rainbow comes out. And the Bible explains that this is God's covenant between Him and the world, that He won't ever flood the entire world again. Those who've had near-death experiences say that the rainbow is like what heaven looks like, that it's full of colors, every kind of color. And so it's sort of like a little glimpse into heaven. It's sort of like an arc that connects heaven and earth. That's the sense of this covenant. This pattern that we see in the story of Noah is a pattern that happens all over the Old Testament and the New. God's creation, then sin introduces corruption, which causes destruction, but then God recreates again out of that destruction. And it reaches its ultimate story in the story of Christ. Christ is, of course, God's Son, God's creation, who our corruption brings Him to destruction on the cross, and then his recreation experienced at the resurrection. So it's this pattern of death and resurrection. So the second reading applies the Noah story to our baptism and says that just like eight people were saved from the waters, so baptism saves you. And it's a sense that you go through the waters of baptism and come out the other side and all the sinfulness has been washed away. So in the early church, when they were bringing lots of people in as adults, they actually had a whole separate little building called a baptistry. And there was a big pool of water there. And when the catechumens were ready to enter the church, they would come, they would take all their clothes off and leave them there, go down into the water, come back out the other side, having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They'd be clothed in a beautiful new white garment, and then they'd receive confirmation at the same time and a lit candle, and they'd be processed into church for their first experience of the Eucharist. It's something that we continue to this day, but you can see that pattern of leaving your old life behind, being washed clean, and starting new. That sense of a new creation. So the white garment is a symbol of that new creation of God washing us clean and giving us a gift of purity. It's the white garment that the servers wear at Mass. Here, stand up once real quick. Don't they look all pure and holy? As long as they can pull that off for all of Mass, we're good, right? Thank you. That same white garment actually follows us throughout life. It's the white garment that's not only at your baptism, but at your first communion, shows up again at your wedding day. Personally, I think guys should wear white suit jackets for their wedding day, but most guys probably can't make it the whole day with a white suit coat on. I know I couldn't. And then it shows up again at your funeral when we bring your casket into church and we unfold a white pall over the casket, a sign that the purity and holiness that we receive is all a gift. It's all a gift of God's glory. In fact, you know, my stuff looks pretty fancy here, but it's really only four pieces. And the bottom piece here is the white garment. It's the same robe that the servers are wearing. It's my, well, it's not my baptismal garment, but that's the idea. Same thing, you know? So really, the church is asking the priest to be fresh from the font, that I have to sort of step into my baptism as a son of God before I can stand up in front of you and serve you as a priest. So the purity, the holiness, is the glory we receive is this free gift of God who gives it to his children, who gives us his divine life and makes us pure. And we're meant to receive that from God and then share it with others. Where we go wrong, where we spoil our garments, is where we're not so much open to receive, but we want to grasp and take for ourselves. Well, we're afraid of having nothing, and so we try to seize things that matter, especially from other people. And that begins to lessen the glory of God. So Lent is a time for us to renew our baptism, to be fresh and clean again, to let go of the things that we have collected and clung to try to make for ourselves an identity, and to rather receive that identity as a gift from God. Go back to that white garment. So it's no mistake that at the Easter Vigil, we bless the Easter water, and then we sprinkle everybody with the holy water. We're going back again to that baptismal purity. We're returning to that earlier state of innocence that's a free gift from God. You know, this sense of becoming a new creation in baptism, being washed clean and renewed by God's gift, I saw in this new little viral sensation on Facebook the other day. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a woman from Tasmania. Yes, it really does exist. Actually, it's a real place. And she's goes to junk shops and rummage sales, and she buys these old dolls that have been discarded. And most of them are these Bratz dolls that they're made up to look like pop stars. So they got lots of makeup, big eyes, big poofy lips, you know. But many of them have been abused, they've been drawn on, they have legs, feet broken off, things like that, you know. So she takes these discarded dolls home, and she washes them clean. She even takes a nail polish remover and washes the whole face off. And then she starts over and she paints a new face on the doll. She makes little feet and hands and stuff out of clay for the dolls. And then her mom, as she says, knits new doll clothes, and brand new doll clothes, and she dresses them up, and she took pictures of them playing in her backyard, you know, in Tasmania, just like kind of natural scenes, you know. She calls it tree change dolls. They had a tree change, she says, but it's shocking, the before and after picture. The before doll looks, well, kind of used and abused, but also like she's looking for attention and desperate for love. The after doll looks so much happier, even though it's really just paint and a little clothing, but she looks loved. She looks loved, and she has been. She's been carefully hand-painted and given handmade clothes. She's one of a kind. And it's that transformation that has kind of captured people's imaginations, turning something that people would think of as trash into something priceless by the gift of love. Brothers and sisters, that's the washing of baptism that washes clean our desperate yearning for love and for attention and gives us a new identity as God's beloved sons and daughters, allows us to start fresh and even to return to an innocence that maybe we never had. But baptism gives us that new innocence of being God's creation and all the joy and the happiness that comes with it. My prayer for you this Lent is that you can clean your white garments, return to the identity that God gives you in your baptism as his beloved sons and daughters.